Scientific research is successful in large part because there's an open exchange of information. Scientists test and build on others' findings. But national security officials are concerned that openness could also help terrorists develop biological weapons. NPR's Richard Harris reports a prominent group met in Washington last week at the National Academies to try to resolve the conflict.
Research directly related to biological weapons is classified as secret and kept under wraps. Most other medical research is not controversial at all. But scientists are now on the spot to define a gray area between these two poles, that is, non-secret research that could still conceivably help terrorists. John Hamray, a former Defense Department official now heading the Center for Strategic and International Studies, put the issue bluntly at the Academy's meeting.
The political climate that we're in is leaning toward the direction of imposing security restrictions that buy precious little security but have terribly negative consequences for the conduct of science. The scientific community, I hate to say it, tends to discount this as just those security guys are a bunch of dopes. And if only they'd be smarter, they'd leave us alone.
Hamray warns scientists that the security people aren't going to leave them alone. In fact, there are already a few examples of government interference. James Cook from Washington State University recounted the story of a National Academies report about potential vulnerabilities in agriculture production. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, which requested the report, reviewed it in advance and agreed that it contained no classified information and could be made public.
But then the USDA reversed its position and decided that the report was tantamount to a roadmap for terrorists and that they requested that the report not be published at all.
The Academies ultimately did publish it, but withheld one chapter. That chapter is available only to scientists who request it for a good reason. But Cook says even that chapter may be published openly because it's important to make these findings widely available to the scientific community. So far, the government hasn't stepped in to block publication of technical reports in scientific journals, but that's possible too. Ariella Rosengard at the University of Pennsylvania found herself at the center of public controversy when she published a paper that involved a small part of the smallpox virus as part of basic research about organ transplants.
As the mother of two wonderful children, I do ask myself the following questions. Could our work help to make the world they inherit more or less secure?
On the one hand, there's a theoretical risk that any information about smallpox could be abused to make the deadly virus even deadlier. On the other hand, Dr. Rosengard sees the value of publishing her findings widely because they could help other scientists develop drugs to combat smallpox or better understand how the immune system responds to potentially deadly infections.
I also ask myself, should we change the course of our research even though our previous work provides us with insight into smallpox that few scientists have? Maybe it's just not worth studying this field. But the truth is, again, research in immunology itself could become controversial.
There's no clear place to draw the line. Basic information about the immune system could help scientists defend against disease or allow people with nefarious intent, patience, and training make bad things even worse. Scientists at the meeting struggled in vain to define the gray area where useful information is also enough of a threat to be withheld. Nicholas Cozzarelli, editor of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, couldn't even come up with a theoretical example.
We think we will know it when we see it, but we haven't seen it today.
But that's not a satisfying definition. Parney Albright from the Office of Homeland Security and the White House Science Office warned that the scientific community needs to do better.
What you're really inviting in the absence of a community-accepted policy is political action. It will probably be onerous and may likely be ineffective, most likely will be ineffective. In other words, we're looking for the scientific community to come forward itself because the government will not do this very efficiently and not do it very well at all.
Even if American scientists can develop a sharp definition of the gray area, National Academy of Sciences President Bruce Alberts warned that won't solve the problem.
At most, half of the research in the world at the leading edge of areas we're talking about is done in the United States. The other half is done elsewhere. We're going to have some international coherence here, otherwise we don't have anything.
So the ultimate definition and control of sensitive research will have to stretch from Japan to Italy to India and many other places in a world where sophisticated biomedical research is routine. Richard Harris, NPR News, Washington.